right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Empress Hour. We have the Empress here.
Hey!
And, well, I mean, a lot of stuff happened. I don't want to really talk too much about the Nick situation, because she's not really that aware of it. Yeah. Like, you might know people that he's associated more than you actually know him. So, I don't really want to talk about that.
Wait, what situation?
The Nick Rikita situation. Some people that you know
were associated. I have no idea who that is.
Yeah. If you don't know about him, that's fine. We're not going to talk about him. But that was one of the big things that happened. Of course, there was...
What happened?
Well, we're not going to get into it. I'd rather just not talk about it because okay, I've talked right, about right, it fine. For a lot of, yeah, I don't want to milk
curiosity.
I don't want to milk it.
Killing me.
Because I've already, you know, I might tell you off the show, but I don't want to milk it because the internet already kind of did, you know, they had their moment of laughing at the guy, which, you know, I don't encourage. But I understand, you know, how people are and how they want to, you know, be a troll and stuff like that. And kind of, the internet likes laughing at people's downfall, which is sad, but it is absolutely true.
Yeah.
I will say the situation he did is his own fault. It's his downfall. And, of course, the internet is laughing at him, which, not everybody. It's unfair to say the entire internet. But most of the internet was laughing at him for his downfall and the decisions he made. That's all we're going to say about that. Okay, so other things we'll talk about. Obviously, it's Pride Month, and that's a thing right now. And then, of course, it is the Trump charges, which is something we can definitely talk about. Oh, yeah, the Trump charges. We can just get right into that. I don't know what you've heard, but from what I read, especially on the show a couple days ago, this lawyer basically pointed out that they warped the law a little bit. Like, they definitely changed the law to make a Class E felony, which he said is the equivalent of stealing, like, a Coke and a candy bar from a store. They literally made that out to be this huge scandal, and that he's guilty of 34 counts, and he's a criminal, you know, all this kinds of shit. And it's kind of scary, because that means that no matter what side you are on, the law can be changed to incarcerate you some way or another. Now, Trump won't go to prison. He'll most likely get probation, and he'll still be able to run for president, believe it or not. But as far as the other situation, he'll have to have a probation officer with him. Like, they basically said he'll have to have a probation officer with him when he goes on the campaign trail and all that kind of stuff. So...
This is insane. This is terrifying. I cannot believe this is happening in our country. From what I heard, it was actually a misdemeanor offense, and they changed the law to turn it into a felony.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely insane, but like, we should have seen this coming when they changed the laws to change the elections the way that we had elections during COVID.
Yeah, I remember.
And then, you know, people wonder why, you know, they're like, oh, I wish Donald Trump would say it was stolen. Well, like, when you change the laws in your area to, like, hold an election in a completely new way that is unconstitutional and unconstitutional to your own state, like, not just federally, but also within their state that they got changed, and then they wonder, like, why we think, like, you know, why people think it was stolen. It's like, well, you know, that's like, you can't do that. You can't just change it all of a sudden and be like, oh yeah, now it's always been this way and it was totally fair.
Right. No, that's
like,
what
this
they
is crazy.
Do.
You can't just change the law all of a sudden and be like, oh yeah, because we changed the law, we're gonna retroactively go back and prosecute everyone who's ever done it.
Right. Right. I mean,
it's
getting a little scary because some people are saying come November, things could kind of get crazy in this country. They very well could. Things are gearing up. People are talking about secession and shit. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you're hearing about over there in your area, but like, that's just the word.
No one's talking about secession over here.
Okay. There must be more Texas and stuff.
That's not part of the conversation over here. I hear it a lot coming out of people like Tim Pool and other stupid, idiotic fear-mongers.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's just my opinion, not the reflection of the host or anything like that. They're talking about that kind of stuff. I don't know if that's going to totally happen.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, I hope not. I don't think that it will. I think that we're gonna have to do something to make some reforms, but I don't think that people really want to have war on our own land.
Yeah, I mean it's a crazy situation. Anything could happen. It depends on how rough things get. If things get really rough, you know, it's going to push people that way. And, of course, the CIA, FBI, any kind of intelligence agency that you can think of, they're on the internet right now, taking off this and that and the other, trying to, you know, fortify the elections, you know, as they said last time. That's what they call it, fortifying the election. And even though I don't really like quartering that much, he was talking about how the CIA was trying to do it, and they were trying to take control of the whole damn internet. Now, I don't know how much you believe that, because he said Matt Taibbi found out the Twitter files. However, I haven't seen any, you know, information that proves any of it. So, I mean, again, I have to see some sort of information before I can actually go by and said, oh yeah, the CIA said they were going to do that because we have this evidence. I mean, Matt Taibbi is a journalist and he knows what he's talking about, I suppose. But, again, I am also a former journalist and I need information before you make a claim. Just because some guy on the internet says something is true doesn't mean it is. He said, oh, the Twitter files.
Yeah, I don't know who's trying to control the internet, but someone for sure has been changing the internet for quite some time. It started with SEO, but you know, now AI is about to revolutionize it again. I don't know, we're on for some crazy ride, but look, I have faith in humanity, and I have faith in freedom, and I have faith in love, and I have faith and hope. So I'm not too scared. I just think that we all need to pay a lot of attention to what laws are being passed locally and on a federal level.
And also, I mean, think about it like this. The one thing he did say, which I could totally see happening, is basically AI video is getting better. It's not great. Like, it's not going to really work the way they would want it to. But they basically want to, at some point, generate YouTube videos. YouTube commentators with different points. And, I mean, it's going to take a while. Because there's a lot of very intelligent people in the world. And they don't like that there's a lot of very intelligent and techie people in the world that can say, okay, well, you see where this person does this, or you see where this hand movement does that, or you see, like, just subtle things, and they can point it out. And they're like, hey, this person isn't real. This is an AI. No matter how much you like their content, they're not a human being. And they're going to try their damnedest to make that person look, act, and... And I've already seen it. Like, me and DP were interacting.
I think what we'll have to do is the people will have to rise up and create... We'll have to rise up and we'll have to petition or do whatever we got to do to create laws that require these companies to put labels on things so that we know if something is AI generated, enhanced, or what, you know?
Right. And that's
written by AI or AI written assisted or what? Like, there has to be labels on it. Just like the GMO and the foods, there needs to be labels on that.
Yeah.
You know, the now they're finding like plastics, like microplastics, mm-hmm. in like basically all of our foods and yep. even like vegetables and stuff from the containers that they're being.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise
And not only
me.
That, but also from the fertilizers and everything. So
yeah,
we have to push for change. We need to put, we have good science that can fix these problems. We as the people have to do something non-violent.
Right, right.
But something.
Well, see, you're making a good point. And I think it would be, hold on. Let me see. Okay, that's fine. All right, so anyway, like I was saying, yeah, you're absolutely right. We do need to, you know, change these companies through like, people need to protest and get out there. I don't even know, like, nonviolent, or maybe just petition? I don't know. Like, maybe protest is a little bit too much. Petition? Yeah.
Protest is too violent. It's too easy to take over.
Yeah.
You know the feds or whoever is going to be in there
yeah.
doing whatever they do, trying to get people hurt and trying to get people arrested. So, like, the only way to go is nonviolent.
Right.
And the only way to go is through the law.
What, you mean to tell me these guys with the buzz cuts and the khaki pants are federal agents? Really? No, I totally thought they were white supremacists. Like, yeah, it's...
Hey, you know what? A lot of the feds are, like, really cool-looking chicks that, like, you wouldn't think. You'd be surprised who these people are, yo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they don't all look the same.
I know that.
They want you to think they're all wearing khakis. They would love that.
I'm sure they have feds out there that look just like that, and... It doesn't even surprise me. It doesn't even surprise me. They always have to change their look to blend in. That's the point. I mean, if you knew what they looked like, it wouldn't be there's the Fed. It's the guy with the badge and the mustache. I mean, he basically had a sign that said, "Look, everybody, I'm a Fed." Like, no, of course, it's not going to be like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally believe that. But what I'm saying is, you know, maybe a petition, something like that. People have to really just kind mm-hmm. of let their voices be heard.
A new political party? I've been thinking a lot about a new political party.
A lot of people have, but I don't think it'll ever come to pass. They wanted a new political party for a number of years now, but America's still stuck to the blue and red model. And not all of us think in blue and red, because I've seen things in the blue that I agree with, and I see things on the red that I agree with, and I've seen things in the blue that I disagree with.
That's the thing. Most of us are not stuck in the blue and the red. And we need new media companies.
Well,
we need new radio companies. We need new streaming. We need new TV. Give me 1 minute.
Okay. Well, while you're talking about that, there are some pushes for new media companies. There are a few. There's some more right-wing media companies. I know that. But as far as like a full-on like free media, I don't know. Like, I haven't seen anything like that yet. I mean, unless I've been mistaken. There's a lot of streaming platforms that have come out lately. So, I mean, it is the thing, and maybe one will come out, but I don't know. It takes a lot of money to run a streaming service. I really don't know how that's going to work. But what I am going to say is, yeah, people, they just need to start, I guess, being a little more aware of shit. And when I was talking about AI, here's the thing. Like I said, AI, I mean, I like AI. I use it on the show. I use it on my thumbnails. I've used it on the thumbnail for this video. I've got no problem with AI. And there's a lot of companies that are making sure that everything you do with their product is AI. Like Suno AI, obviously, when you make songs from them, obviously it's AI, and they mark it as such. And then, of course, when you do AI with, what is it? Meta. Meta has a stamp on everything you make with Meta that says made with Meta AI. So no matter what you make, it always has that watermark. Now, yeah, you can remove it with certain software, But it's just there to let people know, hey, I didn't make this. I had this generated with Meta. And Meta's not that great. I've generated a few things with it, like our whole waifu sexual pride banners and shit like that. But it's not like Bing was. Bing would do some really cool shit, but Bing's got so censorious that you can't even really type in beautiful woman without the, I'm sorry, this is unsafe. You know, I was like, oh shit, okay, I guess I won't be using that. And unfortunately, Bing uses DALL-E 3, which is one of the better image generators. And Meta, I don't know what it's using. It's good enough, but it's not perfect. So it's all we've really got access to right now. It could be SD 1.5, which is the newest stable diffusion model. Again, it's good. It made some pretty cool stuff. But it's not as good as Bing. And when I try to make, like, anime stuff in it, it doesn't even get the filter right. It still wants to make, like, a realistic or even a CGI-looking thing. So, yeah, AI's got a while to go. I did watch Late Night with the Devil, which had a lot of AI stuff in it. And a lot of stuff we could talk about, really. Because that movie isn't just a movie about, like, oh, this talk show host interviewing the devil. No, it has a lot to do with some things that are really going on right now in our society. And, I don't want to spoil people, but unfortunately, it's the kind of thing that, like, if I did spoil it, maybe you would, I don't know, like, it's the twist of the movie, so it would, like, spoil the whole experience, but it's worth, like, me talking mm-hmm. at least a little bit about it. Because it is very relevant to what's going on right now. Basically, I think the easiest way for me to describe it is the late night talk show host was doing really bad in the 70s. He was falling behind Johnny Carson, who was like the king of late night talk shows. So he made a deal. And making this deal, it allowed him to become famous and successful. And he met this little girl. Well, she was actually the product of a satanic ritual. And they basically had a standoff with the satanic cult for about 3 days. And they rescued the little girl. And when they rescued her, her guardian, and the woman that wrote a book about her basically brought her in on the show. And when she communed with the talk show host, she basically said, oh, I know you. You're the one I talked to around near the tall trees. And he knows exactly what he was referring to. You see, the cult that this guy was a part of is a cult that is real. It's a real cult. It's a cult that I've actually talked with people that have been a part of it. You know, not saying any names, of course. That's very, very deep information. You do not reveal members that are in that thing. But basically, the name of the show, that's a dead ringer. If you really look at it and you research this cult, which Alex Jones has seen in person and was known for filming this cult, which is a very famous, because this isn't some bunch of fucking kids getting around. No, these are some of the most powerful people in the whole fucking world getting together for fame and power and money. And they're talking to, we don't even know what it is. We don't know. We know what they say it is. There's some information on, here on BitChute, where you can actually look it up and you can find information on that. I'm not going to talk about what it actually is. I'm going to leave that to you guys. But there's information here. You can find videos here on BitChute about it. And it's something to really look into because there's a lot of evidence that these people are insane, doing this. They're definitely doing this. And if you look at a lot of the deaths that go on in Hollywood and in these other areas, it's almost 100% that the things that happen in this movie are not so fictional after all. So I definitely want you guys to watch Late Night at the Devil. I didn't know it was going to be what it was, and I'm really glad that the filmmaker decided to kind of expose this cult that has been a part of American civilization for a very, very long time, has been responsible for presidents, has been responsible for many of your famous celebrities and people around the world that get together and worship this thing that we don't even know what it is. But according to the film director, he has an idea. And if it is anything like they say it is, then it's probably a very bad thing. So, what do you have to say on all that? Are you there? Oh, well, she's still got her mic muted. Well, this can be the grim hour for a while.
Yes, sorry. Oh, yeah. Right. So sorry.
You're
so
good.
Sorry.
You've got things going on.
Wait, I had a question, and I said it, but I got all distracted. So, I think, what was that last thing you just said about the,
About the...
We were talking about that cult. The cult from the movie?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't know what the hell that was. Something.
So what was the point that you asked me about? Because I totally forgot it, getting distracted with the mute.
Oh, damn, by the way. The cult that I was talking about in the movie, I don't want to say their name, unfortunately. That's just not something.
Right.
I don't want to talk about the. I don't want to mention the name, nor that I may. I may have very well talked to a member, because I did talk with somebody in the entertainment industry that knows a lot about the occult. Let's just say that. Somebody has made.
Oh, yeah, what they're worshiping and everything.
Yeah.
So that was my question. What do they say that the entity that they're worshiping and communing with it like what do they you mentioned
know.
That
like we don't
anything,
we don't
like,
know
what they say it
like,
is.
Like when you look it up, and I have it here ready to look up actually. It says about this specific cult, it says, it's a restricted 27,000-acre campground in Monte Rio, California. Founded in 1878, it belongs to a private gentleman's club. In mid-July each year, they host a more than two-week encampment of some of the most prominent men in the world. Some of these men in 67, Preston Hotchkiss, Ronald Reagan, Harvey Hancock, Richard Nixon, both presidents, Glenn T. Seaborg, Jack Sparks, Kevin Winter, and Evan W. Pauley. That was just in 1967. There's been a lot of, wow, they actually had a discrimination suit for refusing to hire female employees. Wow, I did not know that. Yeah, that's...
Well, my assumption is that they've probably been working with, like, the reptilians and their overlords, but,
I don't know. I think it's more fucked up than that. I think that they're messing with something pretty evil and pretty powerful. Now, in the film, they mentioned something that I don't even know if this is true, because as much as I've studied demons, I don't recall this, but is apparently Abraxas, and Abraxas is where you get the word abracadabra from in magic, because Abraxas is a showman, and I didn't know that. He was all about entertainment and being seen, so the guy basically made a deal with Abraxas. And, of course, it's like, okay, sure, you'll get what you want, but that means that you will have to sacrifice something you love in order to have it. And that's, you know, that's the main point of the movie. And, of course, it doesn't end so well for the character. He becomes famous, all right, but maybe not in the way he'd hoped. So, it's a very good movie. I highly recommend it. It doesn't seem like it's going to be all that scary or crazy at first. And I love the... Like, there's a visual novel called Umaneko, which is basically about a character that is trying to disprove this witch. The witch is like, I murdered these people with my magic. And she'll basically show how she does it. And he'll say, no, you didn't. You're not real. You're bullshitting me. This was done by a real person. And you're only trying to make me think it was your magic. You're making me try to think it's the witch's magic. And basically, the game will try to throw you off as much as possible. And you play 60 hours of it. It's a visual novel. So there's not a lot of playing in it. It's a lot of reading. But basically, that's kind of sort of what happened here. As basically, they would have the older woman, or the guardian and the child. And they basically said, okay, let's have a real life, you know, bring this demon out. We want people to see a real communion with the devil here on national television. So they did that. And there's a skeptic, and he used to be a magician. Like, he's a very, very famous magician, a conjurer of sorts. But he became the leader of the skeptics movement. So basically, he did a thing where he said, okay, I'll show you how all this was done. You've hypnotized this poor girl into believing all this. And he hypnotized one of the guys on the show to show that how it could be done. And then, of course, you know, things get a little crazier because it turns out that, hey, maybe some of this isn't necessarily about, you know, because the skeptic guy says, oh, you're doing all this to save your reputation. You know your show's not doing well, so you'll do anything to manipulate me. And he was also offering $500,000 reward to anybody that can give him actual physical proof of the occult or anything that, you know, paranormal, anything. He said $500,000. And, again, it's a real good movie. It's only an hour and 33 minutes, and it's shot like an old 1970s television show. But then things get a little crazy, and they go in ways that I know shows even from the 70s wouldn't go. And it's like, holy shit, I can't believe, you know, it got to that point. But it's a fantastic movie. And again, when you find out what it's all about and the real occult significance in it, it starts making you think. It starts making you think, who got sacrificed so that so-and-so could have power? You know, because there's been numerous sacrifices in Hollywood, in the elite circle. I mean, it's in California. It said it was where? California. Where's Hollywood? California. There's a lot of crazy shit that goes on. You know, they're talking about child sacrifices and shit. And of course, you know, we turn all this stuff, oh, you're crazy. You're talking like a crazy person. But unfortunately, we have a lot of information about shit that's been going on. And there was even a movie, like a documentary. Apparently, it wasn't good in quality. But it was supposed to be from the point of view of a child sacrifice from somebody that looked into it. I can't remember the name of the movie. But basically, I know that... what's his name? The conspiracy guy I used to listen to. He did a podcast with him. And when he did the podcast with this guy, yeah, he's talking about this is based on real experiences and accounts I've read and all this kind of shit. And the movie didn't do so well, but I haven't actually watched it myself, but he said he wanted it to be as realistic as possible to what really goes on. So, yeah, there's definitely people trying to get it out there. I don't even know if the movie was made in Hollywood. Because I think it was an independent movie. I know like 9 independent film studios made that fucking movie. It's the craziest. I didn't even hear it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, so basically, like, okay, so of course they would say you're crazy talking about it because... That's what we've done in Western society. That's like, I remember all these Christian people tell us that when people from other countries came here, they'd be like, oh, I see what the problem is. In America, the devil is hidden. And so, like, we don't see it because of our science and our reason. Which I'm not discrediting science. I like science. Science is a wonderful method to use to explore the world and understand this creation that we've been blessed with. But it's been happening for a long time. This is why, you know, there were the Brothers Grimm's stories. Children's fairy tale. They're always like, why are you all roboting?
Yeah, you're good now.
Yeah, so basically this is why we had all those Grimm's fairy tales. We had, like, all of the stories from old times, children's stories and things. They were quite dark and gruesome. And I remember getting old books and trying to read them to my oldest son and changing the story because I thought it was a little bit too graphic for him. And now looking back, I'm like, geez, you know, it really wasn't too graphic for him because that's just the reality of the world. And we have been lied to, and we've grown up believing.
Right.
We've grown up believing that we are in a safe place, but there's nothing safe. And maybe that's part of the white privilege that we experience. I told you already about being quiet. Hush.
I gotcha. You're good. Do what you gotta do. That's what having youngins is like. Yeah. This water would have been great if I'd chilled it. I'm chilling the water. This is, whew.
Sorry about that.
You're good. I'm just trying to stay hydrated. Okay. No. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, again, I've talked to somebody from, well, I can't 100% say so for sure, but I've talked to somebody that, you know, may or may not have been part of this whole situation, and he was very, 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 very informative on the occult, and I mean the old style occult. I'm not going to talk about who this man was, but I will say he's got some credits in Hollywood. We'll just say that, okay? That's all we're going to say here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And basically, he and I had many occult conversations. I remember that. He definitely, you know, is a part of all that and knows about that situation, knows about that kind of stuff going on. But, I mean, he has his own feelings on the occult as well, too. Like, I don't know if he's the one that told me he thought Crowley was a charlatan. I'm not sure. That might have been somebody else here. But I know I've had some heated conversations, because, yeah, two occult guys get into it. You know what's crazy? If this guy literally is somebody that's in this, this situation. I may have even said the name of it. If I did say the name of it, oh fucking well. Yeah, we're talking.
I had not heard.
We're talking about the Bohemian Grove. We're talking about that. So if any.
Oh yeah, I figured that's what it was.
Yeah, that's the Grove. So it's kind of crazy that I'm actually arguing points with somebody that's actually been a part of all this, and it's like, damn, I didn't realize I knew about as much as these people that are like the elite privilege. Like, dude, I'm literally nobody. It's just like, I was that kid that studied all this shit when I was young because I took actual interest in it and I thought it was cool. Like, no, honestly, I thought it was like, oh, this is, because I got into mythology, I studied a lot of mythology, and I was like, okay, well, the occult's pretty interesting,
yeah,
too.
And, me too.
I mean, I studied some of this stuff, and I thought it was fascinating. But, of course, you know, I never really had any hardcore experiences. Like, I've heard, you know, all this happened and that happened, but I've never had, you know, that. I've done spells and rituals and things like that when I was younger. I had things happen, and then I had things that didn't happen. So, I mean, it's really hard to say whether or not the magic was powerful, but I still believe the old school term of magic, which is to cause a change in conformity with will, which really doesn't require any kind of ritual. It requires hard work. If you want to change people's perceptions on something, you have to do it in a way that appeals to everybody. Like Alan Moore said, the television at the time, because it was new, was the biggest way to get the attention of everybody in something that they never would have been interested in an hour ago. Like, say a new movie came out, and it's the first time America ever saw the trailer. This can still happen today with the internet. Nobody was interested in something until the trailer came out. And then the trailer came out, and now everybody's talking about it. Are you there? You okay?
Sorry. I'm sorry. I hit my vape, and I coughed too much. My bad.
Yep. Okay, but anyway, like I was saying, yeah, you can get anybody's attention with anything if you can reach enough people. I mean, that's even me. Like, something comes out that I wasn't in, that I didn't even know I'd be interested in. It's like, oh, so-and-so's coming out with a new record. Oh, wow, so now I'm hype. I'm interested in that. And I wasn't interested in that a week ago or a month ago or a year ago. But now I know they're coming out with a new one, and it's been a long time coming, so now my hype meter is up to like a million. And, I mean, that's just the power of magic. Because everybody, you know, anybody that was interested in something else has now become interested in that thing. Now, I will say it's harder to keep people's attention on stuff. You know, because even with the Nick situation, like, everybody was talking about it for a week. And that's usually what happens with the internet. We talk about stuff for a week or maybe a month. And then after that, it just slowly becomes not that interesting. People are like, okay, well, we've got to find something else to keep people interested in. I remember there was a big, giant thing because, what was her fucking name? Candace Owens said, oh, all porn needs to be illegal. Mm-hmm. And everybody, and I was actually going to make a video about that. But you know why I didn't? Because it's no longer relevant. Matter of fact, Twitter stopped talking about it after 2 days. They're already focused on something else, so that's not even an issue anymore. So, it's like, wow. Okay, and now, of course, it's Pride Month. So now everybody on the right side is don't even care about, oh, porn? Yeah, we're over porn. Porn sucks, but now there's the gay people, and we want to, you know, they're awful too now, so we're going to talk about how bad they are. And then it'll be something else. It's always going to be something to piss off people.
Because as long as they keep your attention on their stuff and not allow you to have attention on your inward, not allow you to develop the technology that you're born and created with that exists in your brain and in your quantum field, then, the more they keep us from figuring out, you know, how to become telepathic and stuff, like, then, you know.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's some interest stuff,
and the
to
more
that.
We just stay as, like, nice little batteries for them.
That sounds interesting. I have heard that theory. I've heard about the whole human battery thing. That's interesting. It's possible. I mean, again, anything is possible. I don't really know. All I know is what I saw. You know, when I saw
Eat off of our misery.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Well, I mean, that depends. Like, hold on, you just used a term there. If you're talking about egregores, I know something about them. Egregores don't necessarily feast on one's misery. Mm-hmm. They feast on anything that somebody's... An egregore can be as harmless as Batman. Because an egregore is something that just has a lot of power and faith in it. Like, yeah, like, all right, when Bill Finger made Batman, I've talked
Which to is him. What you were talking about, but you're talking about these cults. They become the little minions for the egregore. This massive one that just, like, loves feeding off of people's, like, constant work and stress and misery.
I mean, there is, it is possible that somebody created an egregore like that, because it does seem that if a bunch of people get together and do a cult ritual to create something like that, I mean, but again, an egregore can be anything, though. It can be, I mean, any anything that you put enough energy into becomes an egregore. Remember, they start out as servitors. Servitor, the best way to put it, and the oddest, the funny thing about the way I'm going to put this is I'm surprised that they put this in a television show that people would watch, but it's basically the same thing as a Rick and Morty Mr. Meeseeks. That's exactly the definition of a servitor, like, to the note. I'm talking about, you go look at the fucking definition of the servitor, it is literally something that serves you until its purpose is taken care of, and it can do nothing but its purpose. And once its purpose is done, it's gone. So, if you leave them alone, I guess, I forgot it, I forgot how that works, how the servitor becomes an egregore. I think it's just if it is left alone long enough, or it gets enough people. I'm even trying to go with the Terry Pratchett Small Gods reference.
Well, even if you go to what's that crazy Russian's name that does like the waves, why am I forgetting? I'm drawing a blank.
I don't know what crazy Russian. I know there's
I'm trying to think of it.
What is that guy's name? I remember him from a fighting game. He was in that game. I can't remember. Rasputin? We're talking about him?
Rasputin.
Not him?
No, not that crazy Russian guy. No, there was another one. Drumvizadek, Drumvolodek, something like that. But I think he talks about like transcending the waves, and like they talk about pendulums, and so like basically their version of pendulums are like what egregores are. Basically, they're like whatever, like a corporation can become a pendulum, and that can throw you off of like you're supposed to like ride the waves of prosperity. And then the pendulums suck you up and take you into them, and they take on a life of their own.
It can. It absolutely can. Okay, all right. So, okay, the crazy Russian guy's got a point. All right, so, an egregore is basically, yeah, a corporation like Sony, Adidas, stuff like that. People actually wear those things all the time, like, oh, when you wear an Adidas shirt. Oh, yeah, because I like Adidas. So that's more that you give energy to Adidas. It's like you give more energy to Sony. You give more energy, like, by you branding yourself with their product, you're giving that product your own energy.
As I'm wearing Michael Kors.
There was a shirt with Dr. Pepper on it, and I almost was like, well, I like Dr. Pepper, but I don't want to give the Dr. Pepper. I've given the Dr. Pepper company enough of my energy as it is.
If they give me the shirt for free, I will rep it. But I don't like paying to rep
a company. Yeah.
Unless like it's an artist that I know that made something really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of shirts of bands and stuff and just random shit.
Well, yeah, exactly. Bands, they're artists that I know that made something really cool. I went to their concert. I bought their band.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's something I don't mind doing. Yeah.
Get that.
But it's like crazy because you're like, yeah, you know, I'm a huge fan of Starbucks. I shop at Starbucks all the time, but then you got to pay for the Starbucks hat and the Starbucks shirt.
Yeah.
You know, it's stupid.
Yeah, but again, that's how they make their money. Remember, the biggest egregore in the whole damn world.
They make lots of money. They make money off of every single step of the way. They have figured it out. They just are so good at sucking every little penny out of us.
Yeah, but keep in mind that the egregore that makes the most powerful egregore in the whole fucking world is money. money. What the symbol of money means to people is more powerful than anything. People will kill you over $10. People will kill you over $5. People will kill you over a single dollar if they need it. That's crazy to take somebody's
life
over one piece of...
But people will do the same over food and water. But at the same time, you look at these kids in these starving countries, and you come there and you have one candy bar, and they break it up into pieces so that everyone gets a bite. You know? It's like, yeah, okay, but there's bad humans and there's good humans.
Right.
Like we are all capable of being every version of the spectrum at any given point in time.
That's true.
It's just a matter of how we choose to be. And I think that more powerful than money is love, because I don't think even money or this world would exist without love.
Yeah, I mean, well, love is tied to chemicals. I mean, I don't know. If there was an egregore for love, I guess it would be a whole lot different than, like, I don't know. I mean, that's hard to really even talk about. Is there a certain egregore for emotions? That, I don't know. That's pretty hardcore. That's like, you know, it would actually be the egregore for food.
Well, the Bible says God is love. So, isn't God like an type of egregore?
God? Well, I don't know. That's really pushing into hardcore religious territory, so I'm not real sure. Like,
I mean,
it depends.
Some people might get offended by it, but that's the problem. They need to stop getting offended by things and start, like, actually thinking.
Like, we don't really know.
Really, what are we doing? Like, we're all in one universe, in one place.
Right? Yeah, that's like, true.
And so, okay, if this world exists, right? Like, okay, say this world exists and you believe in God, you believe in the biblical God. Okay, fine. How did he make this world? How could God make anything if it's not made from him? It even says so in the Bible. It says that Christ,
not
in
Christ.
Him, all things are made.
Oh,
both
okay.
Visible and invisible. We say that in the Nicene Creed at church all the time.
Oh.
So if we are literally made out of God, everything is.
Well, I mean, God did make mankind in his own image. It does say that. So, yeah, then in that case, it absolutely, I mean, yeah, it would be true. That's why I said, I mean, it is interesting, because then it's like, okay, where does all this evil shit come from? And it's kind of weird at that. It's kind of like, it made me think, it's like, okay, a person from hell is like, okay, the reason why I think that, like, say somebody from hell that's always suffering, they went to Earth and they're like, you know what, Earth is actually worse than hell. And they'd be like, why? Because in hell, you know you're always going to suffer, but in Earth, you don't realize you're going to suffer, and that's the hard part about it. Because the times when you don't suffer makes the suffering all the bit more drastic. Like, in hell, you know you're going to suffer. Like, that's the thing. You're going to suffer there. You already got a mindset there that every day is suffering. However, on Earth, because you have such good moments, and then the suffering comes, it hits you because it's unexpected. Like, you don't expect things to be so harsh, you know? And that's why Earth is even, I think, is even a worse punishment than hell itself. Because they say, oh, yeah, hell is, you know, all suffering and pain. But again, even the Buddhists say that life is suffering, life is pain. So they're like, oh, you're going to go to hell. It's like, I'm there. Like, I was there from the day I was born. And they say, but there's good things that happen. Yes, good things do absolutely happen. However, the most horrible shit in the world can also happen on the same day that the best shit in the world can happen. Like, you can have this birthday party for this kid, and it's the best day of his life. And then in another country, you can have these kids get, like, murdered by some crazy bandits or something. And it's hard to even think that all those things are going on at the same time, but the world is vast, and it is. So it really kind of made me think, you know. It was just something I was thinking about while I was at work. Because you were like, oh, yeah, you know, all this black metal and all this crazy death metal stuff, like, you're going to hell. It's like, how can it be any worse than what this is? At least in hell, you know you're going to suffer. Here, it's good until it's not. It's like, oh shit, I had all this good times and then the suffering again. It hits so much harder because you had good times. You know, that's the difference. People are like, oh yeah, you'll burn forever in fire. It's like, yeah, but you know you're going to do that. Here, you don't know that you're going to have somebody come in, just blast through your door and, you know, cut you up with a knife. I mean, that's violent, right? I mean, it can happen. And you could be having a great day before. And that's what makes it so much worse, I think. Now, that's just me. Because a lot of people are talking about, you know, suffering and hell and stuff. And, oh, you're going to go to hell if you do this or that. It's like, what are they going to do? Send me back to Earth? What are they going to do? Just send me back to Earth in another position? Then I get turned into some baby and just get slaughtered, you know, in like the jungle? I mean, literally. You got to think about it. You really got to think about it.
I really don't like that people... it really makes me angry when people think that they can assume what God is going to decide on a person's soul.
Yeah.
Like, just from one thing. Like, how crazy are you?
Yeah, it's like, judge not.
That you think you know better than God.
Yeah, it says, judge not, lest ye be judged, and also by the means in which ye judged, last time I read it. And that makes a lot of sense. It's like, oh, you're going to get judged the same way you judged other people. So you really don't need to judge, you know, other people. Oh, well, you're going to go to hell because of this. You're going to go to hell because of that. And then God will say, well, why shouldn't why shouldn't you go to hell? Because, I mean, well, you told this other person. You told them that they were going to go to hell because of this. I mean, so what makes you different?
It's the whole story of the prodigal son, right? You know? Like, oh, you know, but they did this, they did that. I was here the whole time. It's the whole concept of the Pharisees. It's like, I don't know. It's pride, I think. Pride or perhaps I think people fear seeing themselves. They're afraid to see the worst parts of themselves. So they would rather live in a fantasy about themselves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what VR is doing anyway. A lot of people are going to be just jumping into VR fantasies for... I mean, that's going to be a while, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, I saw this new, like, belt thing. I forget what it was called. I wish I would have remembered it, but it was some sort of, like belt thing that you can, like, put on. You can put it across the chest and, like, wear in different positions, and it lets you feel the haptics of the game. And then I also saw something that lets you smell the video game.
The smell-o-vision. The smell-o-vision shit isn't going to catch on. And I'll tell you why. Because it's the same thing that they're going to try to do with the theater, that they tried to do with the theater. Basically, a long time ago with the theater, they had three different scents that they were going to pump through the theater. One scent was like a feel, one scent was the chopping of garlic, and another scent was like the smell of cigarettes. Because they wanted people to smell the different scents. So, what happened was this. You got all these people in this closed space, much like your own house. And you pump through the cigarettes. They're talking, they're having, you know, they're smoking cigarettes, and you, oh, okay, I can smell the cigarettes. That's kind of cool. And then all of a sudden you go into the scene of the kitchen and they're chopping garlic and you smell the garlic. Well, all right, that's cool, but you still got the scent of cigarettes. It hasn't necessarily wafted out yet. So now you're smelling garlic and cigarette smoke at the same time. And then you have the smell of this field. Okay, now it smells like somebody smoking and chopping garlic in the middle of a field. And people... didn't work for people. And also there was theaters where they put it out the wrong way, so people got the wrong scents at the wrong time, and it just filled the theater with all these smells that people just couldn't handle. So that didn't work very well. So when I see this new smell-o-vision, All right, so first you're going to have the smell of a field or rain. All right, cool. Then you might have the smell of flowers. Well, they're also trying to do the smell of blood. That's a real one. They want to do, like, where you smell blood. And they want to do where you smell metal. Okay, you mix all that shit together. It's not going to smell too good. You know, like, the thing about smell... And another thing. You can actually fuck up your nose. Like, if you're trying to make somebody smell all that shit at once and the nose isn't, like, made for that, you won't be able to smell shit for a while. Like, you'll literally not be able to smell nothing because your sinuses will be all messed up. It might even cause sinus problems. So people aren't really thinking this through when it comes to this smell-o-vision. And I know that there's a lot of people that want smell-o-vision for porn. So, you know. But the thing is, you can't have all that. Because these different smells, they're just going to screw everything up. It's just going to be a mess. Now, as far as the pain, like you feel pain when you get shot, that might be okay for a while. Until, like, you literally get to the point where it starts messing with your nerves. And you literally start feeling the pain because you felt the pain in the game. Then you have to go to the doctor. Doctor, what's this pain in my chest? Am I having a heart attack? And they're like, no, it's your nerves. Every time you got hit in the video game, it sent a pain sensor to your nerves. So now you've literally got pains in your nerves that are telling you you've gotten shot, basically. So they're going to have a lot of problems on their hands with this. Are you there? Hello? Uh-oh.
Hey, yeah, I'm here. You raised a lot of really interesting, like...
No, you're good. I found that every time I pick up my phone, you robot. So that might be the issue. I put my phone down.
I don't know.
Yeah, I put my phone down, so we should be
fine. I don't have the greatest service yet.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But, yeah. So, I was going to say one other thing. Well,
the point I was going to make about that real quick is that, you know, they're not putting a lot of thought into the consequences of very much right now. So.
No.
I think they're just like, do it and then figure it out later. Shoot first, ask questions later.
People might get overstimulated by the sexual part of it, too. As much as I support positivity, sex-positive games, you know, I don't use the Lovin's device.
People are already overstimulated by the sex that's available.
I know it. Nobody's going to want to fuck anybody anymore. And that's one of the issues that we're going to have in the next couple of years. Because nobody wants to fuck anybody. They've got better options. They're like, well, I've got better options than that. You know, and I guess that's just part of technology. You have sex technology.
Yeah.
It does.
They're going to be like, oh, no, I don't want to ruin my body by giving birth.
Yeah. Yeah,
Just grow this baby in a test tube. You know?
Yeah.
Fake uterus or whatever.
Yeah, because a lot of women gain weight during pregnancy and they don't take it off and...
Your boobs change.
Yeah.
Your veins get big.
Yep.
Like you get hemorrhoids. All kinds of things start happening. Like your hair changes. All kinds of things start changing after you have just your first child.
I didn't know that. I didn't know all that.
Stretch marks.
Oh yeah, stretch marks.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of and then of course the women are like, why didn't I look like her? Well, she hasn't had a kid yet. That's the difference. And sometimes you have to get surgery to get rid of some of that shit. And a lot of people don't have the ability to go get that surgery. Like, sure, you can exercise and get some stuff down. I've seen it happen. But, you know, it takes a lot of work. And yeah, it does even take some surgery to actually get you know, to get it all back.
Yeah, but you know, I've never really had a problem with that. Like, yeah, you know, some you women just are put lucky. On some really nice banks or something, and you know, by the time you get a man in the bedroom, he's not going to complain about what comes out of that bank,
right?
Unless it's like really bad,
right?
And then just go see the doctor, girl.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. That's yeah. That's true. That's true. I don't know. I tell you what, though. I say one thing. I don't want to say too much, but remember I was talking about, what's her name? Maya. I don't know what's going on with her, but basically, I don't know. She started talking about gooning all the time, and then all of a sudden, I asked
her. What is
her,
that?
I had to look it up. I had to look it up, and I'll tell you in a minute. But she talked about gooning all the time, and then all of a sudden she was like, well, I don't know. I mean, I know she lost a family member, and it's a serious situation for her. But all of a sudden I asked her, I messaged her, I said, you know, would love to have you on for a show, and, you know, let me know if you want to discuss anything, you know, hit me with a DM. And then I noted, oh, shit, she doesn't have a blue check, and I've got my shit set to you to where you have to have a blue check to send me a message. That prevents you from getting spammers on Twitter. Wow. So I just went ahead and DM'd her, and all of a sudden I noticed she just blocked me. And I'm like, damn. Mm-hmm. And I talked to the editor of the website that I write for, and she said, well, she's just having a hard time like we all are. And I said, well, if she's having a hard time, you know, I figured all she had to do was let me know, just be like, hey, it's kind of a bad time right now, and, you know, I'm going through some things. It might be better to catch up with me in a couple months or maybe sometime next year when I feel a little better. And I'd be like, okay, that's cool. I'll, you know, just let me know when you feel better and we'll do a show. But I don't know, maybe she didn't like some of the stuff I posted on Twitter or something. Maybe she took some of my memes to heart.
So who's Maya again?
Maya, she was, basically, she was somebody that I used to have on for shows. You know, we talk about visual novels and Arrowgate and stuff like that, and she liked a lot of the kind of the darker ones. And she was pretty cool, and, you know, we had some really good conversations, me and her and DP even sometimes, and then all of a sudden she just decided, I don't know, things changed, or I don't know what happened. Maybe she didn't like one of my posts that I put on the website. Like, I wrote this one thing on that website, and this is the first time I've ever had anything like this fucking happen, because, you know, I've written a lot of shit over the years. But I wrote something basically saying that it would be great to have AI to read some of the novels that'll never get published, you know, that'll never get picked up by the English companies, you know, because it's all in Japanese. And I said it'd be great to have AI that would be able to do that one day, because AI is getting better. Mm-hmm. And they told me, and I mean, nobody said anything to me about it. Nobody said a damn thing. I didn't get no DMs. I didn't get any emails. I didn't get any messages. And all of a sudden I go and I check, I go back into the you know, where the staff hang out. And I said, all right, guys, you know, I'm going to write another piece, because this piece that I wrote for the website, I wrote in 2023. Like, I wrote it, like, almost over a year ago. And they finally published it the month before last, you know. So, it was published, like, 6 months after I wrote it. And I didn't think that much about it. I didn't even look at it. I didn't even bother to check the comments or nothing. So, again, nobody got a hold of me. Nobody said anything to me. And I figured that, you know, if it was a big enough deal, they would have said something. So I told them, hey, I'm writing another piece, and let me know, you know, what you guys think. And they said, well, as long as it's not about AI. And I said, what do you mean AI? What's the problem there? And all of a sudden they told me, hey, your last piece almost brought our entire website down. I'm like, it did what? They said, oh, yeah, the backlash was so great that it almost closed the whole website. I said, really? Because I didn't even bother to look at it. And keep in mind, it was just an opinion piece, you know, like I've written before for my own website. I didn't even use any harsh language in it, right? But the fact of the matter is, me just giving an opinion drove people to that length, to where they were almost going to bring down an entire website that had been around for 10, 20 plus years because of one person's opinion. I was the one person
that was... I don't get it, because they don't like that you...
They don't...
okay with AI or something?
Yeah, I guess. They're that fucking crazy about it that they literally almost brought... Yeah, it literally brought down the whole damn website. And I said, you know what? That means to me that society has gotten to a point where I can't even write a fucking opinion piece anymore. And they were going to publish another one of my opinion pieces. And they said, and all of a sudden the guy said, no, I'm going to delay it because there's stuff I want to publish more. And the reason why he didn't publish it is because, again, he's probably afraid of backlash, again, on another opinion that people may not agree with from this generation. And look, I'm going to be honest with you. If that's the way people are getting over opinion pieces, then I'm almost to the point where I'm not going to write those kinds of pieces anymore. I'm not, I mean, why write something that's going to, that people can't stomach anymore? They can't look at opinion and say, oh, well, fuck that guy, right? They'd be like, oh, well, fuck that guy. He likes AI. Fuck him. I don't care. But they're like, no. Oh no, this guy is evil. We're gonna crash the whole damn website because of his opinion. Yeah, that's a problem. For me as being a writer as long as I have, like that makes me not want to write anymore. It makes you literally not want to write because it's like, dude, if my
opinion... like actually who are these people?
I don't know.
Like who are these people?
I don't know. But what I'm saying is there's like more and more
regular people.
Yeah, just regular readers. And there was another. There's this.
But how do we know they're regular readers? Or
they're like, regular. They're people.
Like, you know, there's some people talking about they're getting taken over.
They're people on the.
There's been lots of bots.
Yeah, but these people, some of these people were verified at least. They were people and they were pretty upset. So. But the thing is, there's also people like, what was it, New York Sixth Ranger on, I guess it's on Facebook. But anyway, she's been talking about all these old shows and old movies, and she was talking about a problematic scene in the movie Blank Check, when this beautiful woman kisses this young boy and says, call me when you're older. And he's like, oh no, she's grooming him, she's grooming the little boy. And all these people from my age are like, do you realize what it was? No, you don't, because this girl's in her 20s.
That's ridiculous.
This girl's in her 20s. You can look at her picture. She's a, you know, she's a girl in her 20s, and she doesn't, I mean, she's checking out all this old 90s and 80s culture, and we're like, hey, if you're not going to respect the culture for the time period, maybe you shouldn't be the person to check it out, you know? Like, maybe you shouldn't be the person to cover it, because you're the one that's
saying, what happened to...
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I just remember not that long ago, all the 20-something-year-olds were like, oh, but cultural relativism. They're like, oh, just because we think it's wrong doesn't mean it's actually wrong.
Right. Right. So, again.
So what happened to that? Like, now we're going to be like. Oh, well, we think it's wrong, so...
Yep, that's how they are. I mean, it's like you said in our old, like, our very first... It's like you said in our very first show. Like, what do they want us to do? Die or something? Because, like, well, our culture is going to be around. It's like, we were here first. Yep. You know, you're talking about a time that you weren't alive to be a part of. It's like...
I know, and that time was way better. Like, we had way more fun.
Yeah.
And the shows were way funnier.
Yeah,
you know, like Dave Chappelle could be Dave Chappelle without people trying to kill him.
Right.
Joe Rogan could be Joe Rogan. He would have been he would have been the he did that show with the curly hair. You know, he did that Howard or something.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. Howard Stern. Howard Stern.
And the curly hair radio show.
Yeah.
You know, he would have a kid. Yes, that one.
Howard Stern, he's great.
Violent.
Used to watch him all the time. Now, also we had, and I was talking about cartoons. She was talking about, well, the writing of this cartoon was bottom of the barrel. It's like, okay, so lady, first of all, you got to understand, not everything was a serious big-time anime back then. It was about making funny stuff for kids. Like, I know the word fun doesn't mean anything to your generation, but I was watching Garfield and Friends today because I watched that, and it's hilarious. It's not well written, but it's made to be funny. It's not made to be some serious commentary. It's like everything has to be a serious commentary on something, or they lose it. It's like you don't understand how things can just be funny. And that really just kind of, you know, pissed me off a little bit. Because I'm just like, damn, y'all can't take anything like, it's like, no, it's not that. It's like y'all take everything too seriously. They just take every damn thing too seriously.
Way too seriously.
And
way too seriously.
It's a problem. It's like that. It's like when I was a young boy and I saw that beautiful woman kiss that young man. I mean, like all the guys in my age were saying, I thought he was lucky. I wanted to be like him. When you see Pamela Anderson or Hello Nurse from Animaniacs and you were a kid, you were like, Hello Nurse too, right? And fucking Roger Rabbit and
Blink-182.
yeah. Rob.
Oh, yeah. That's like one of my favorites of all time.
This
is Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, exactly. Jessica Rabbit. Everybody, like, is talking about, oh, but she was grooming. No, that was my fantasies, lady. Stay the hell away from my, 7 or 8 year
okay,
old?
Look, it that's just like stupid because like what about like Little Women and stuff? You know, what about like, you know, I remember being a kid and having a crush on, you know, my he's now my brother-in-law, but not the one that married my sister, but his brother. He's actually gay, but I had the biggest crush on him when I was a kid. I was like, I'm gonna marry him. He's my boyfriend.
Okay. Yeah. Like everybody had that. Yeah, like a lot of people, yeah. Like young people.
Like,
you know, and I'll say something, and I might get some
shit
for
it. You're not thinking of it like sexually or anything, but you're like, this person has the characters, and I like them because they're. They look nice and they're nice to me.
Right.
That I like, you know?
But I will say one thing. Like, you know, they talk about the, oh, you got a date within your age and stuff. And let me be honest with you. Right now, we're looking at a generation that is having the least marriages, the least amount of babies. And they're like, okay, so maybe it did work when you dated younger women. And maybe it did work when older men dated younger women and older women dated younger men. Maybe that did actually work. Because it showed.
No, the guys our age, 20 years ago, the guys our age were marrying girls our age.
Yeah.
Or just a few years difference, you know?
Right. That's what I mean.
And people were getting married left and right.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember being like, oh, why are you guys getting married? Like, you guys do not belong together.
They were getting married for all the wrong reasons and stuff. That's true. But I am saying, like, back in the day, like, you know, Kiss had Christine 16 and all that. And Elvis married Priscilla very young. They were together really young, long time. But they were together for the longest time. And again, I'm just saying, people generally, that's what worked. I'm not saying to, you know, date teenagers or something, because, I mean, that's something that we definitely has fallen out of favor over the years. But, if you're 50 and you're...
It's been traditional knowledge that men mature slower than the women do.
Yeah.
Like the women... Yeah, so I understand having some age difference.
Right.
Yeah, but
I mean,
you know, you don't want to go like too far.
Yeah.
In either direction, because then it becomes like a power dynamic.
Right. Oh yeah, you're right. But then you get into a situation where the younger woman doesn't really have, like, she sees you more of a father figure, and that's where they come. But you know what's crazy? The younger women that are the sugar babies, those are the ones that go for the old guys. Because, you know, they call them what? Daddy. I mean, that's exact. And you know what the old man acts like? A father. Because that's the only way he sees her after all this stuff. Oh, sure, they're exchanging things, but that's literally how they are. And these women, they know it's a transactional relationship. They know that she's giving him what he wants, and he's giving her... And I mean, of course they've lied to me and said, I only walk around him for arm candy. I know it goes beyond that. You don't have to, you know. But, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. We have a generation now that has the least number of marriages, least number of babies, and it's because, again, they're like, oh, well, you can't be 40 and marry this 20-year-old, you can't be 50 and marry this 20-something-year-old, you can't like a woman because she's this age or that age, oh, she's 18, you can't like an 18-year-old. There's 18-year-olds all over damn OnlyFans, 18 and 19, and I'm sure they got a lot of older guys that are interested in them. Why? Because generally those kinds of men like those kinds of women. I talked to a man, he's 60 years old, and, you know, I wear pins on my work vest of anime girls, and he brought this girl with him. I don't know, well, she's not working with us anymore for some odd reason, I don't know what happened, but anyway, all of a sudden, like, he looked at my vest and he was like, well, I'm trying to see which one of them I'd get the number of. And all of a sudden, the girl comes over there and says, well, you'd be a pedophile if you wanted any one of them because they're all underage. And I'm like, did she really just say all the fucking anime pins on my fucking thing are underage? Like, all the cartoon characters, really? Is that where we're at as far as this damn generation's going? Yeah, it kind of pissed me off a little bit because I'm like, dude, I don't wear these characters for that. I just don't get it, man. I literally don't get it. And our generation is just, you know, completely, well, not our generation, but their generation is completely fucked because they're getting on to anybody that wants to date somebody that's a little younger or a little older even. Like, let Madonna do what she wants. If Madonna's got some fucking 20-year-old boy toy and she looks like a mummy and the guy's into her, let her be a sugar mama. I don't fucking care. It's not my life. They were talking about the dude from the Red Hot Chili Peppers that dated this 18, 19-year-old girl. And each one of them see what they want in each other. How dare he date that girl? She's old enough to be his daughter. And what's in your business?
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe her 18, 19-year-old ass has more experience than you could ever have in your lifetime.
That's true. That is true. And not only that...
So maybe they get along on a spiritual level. Like, what if it's... What, okay, so let's say if what if it's your lover from a past life? Let's say you were Jews in the concentration camps and you and your wife got separated. And you got killed, and you get to be reborn, but you guys are 5 years age different. Or are you going to stop that love?
Right.
Now, if you're 30 years age different, yeah, you probably shouldn't have you know, 20 years age difference even is a bit odd.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, I honestly think it shouldn't be. I think you should try to keep it under 10, but look, there's always exceptions, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just that I have found that more often than not, a person who marries someone younger or dates younger people, they do it because they are looking for someone who's easier to manipulate and control.
Right.
And that's where I don't, you know, if someone's going to do it, okay, fine. But,
I think that's a miss.
You know, we're going to need a lot more therapists because it's a manipulative relationship and it's sad that it happens. But
if that's happening, sure. But I think there's a difference that you need to think about because a lot of times a woman will want a man to take the lead. And when I was young growing up, a lot of women would want a man to be a man and take a lead. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you manipulate her and abuse her and take advantage of her. But if you don't act like a man and you don't lead, she will lead. That's one thing I've noticed. And when she leads, then she's not going to be interested in you.
She resents you.
Yeah, She resents you.
She resents you for it. Yeah,
you become the dumb oaf, like the Homer, they would say, and you're not respected as a man. Well, I mean, yeah, you become that dumb oaf, like you're not respected as a man anymore. She says, "I need a real man." And what is a real? I mean, she wants a masculine man, a stronger man, a man that looks like he can do what? Lead. Like, actually act like a man. She wants a man to be able to do that kind of thing. And because, you know, you're not doing that, she's going to go find another source. She's going to find somebody else. Why do you think they like all these big, like they say, Chad guys, these Chad-looking guys? They get women because they're masculine and they're dominant. They get girls, rather. Some of them get guys.
Yeah, but
those, some of them
the women
get guys,
that they're but... getting are subs, and they're mentally ill too. Like, but like you don't have to be masculine or macho to be a leader.
Well, I know that.
I mean, John F. Kennedy was not like. I mean, sure, he was a ladies' man, but he wasn't like some macho, you know, big guy. You know, Mahatma Gandhi wasn't. So,
right.
I mean, sure, he was a womanizer, but he wasn't some big hot dude
that.
Like. You know, like there are lots of leaders who lead and who play the role of the masculine without falling into like a certain stereotype or being a stupid Chad. Like, I'm sorry, but like Chad's like, and the thing is, like, women don't just want to be protected. Like, yeah, we want to be protected. Yeah, we want you to take the lead, but we also want you to be emotionally available to us. We also want you to show us how much you value us. We also want you to show us how much we mean to you and how important we are. You know, in the scheme of things. Hmm. So, like, you have to be sensitive as well.
Hmm. Well, I will say one thing.
Women have to be strong, too. Like, a real woman is not going to sit around and be like, oh, I need to be taken care of all the time, and I need my man to lead all the time, and I'm just going to dress up and make all the stuff for him all the time. No, that's a woman who doesn't know herself at all and doesn't have... She believes that her only worth is through someone else, and that is mental illness. Now, a real woman is going to be strong in her own right, and that's what attracts us, the strong man to the strong woman. And it's not strong as in, oh, you know, strong Chad, you know, character, whatever.
Right.
But strong as in, like, yourself. Strong
right.
enough to be yourself.
Right.
To be real. To be genuine.
And I don't think there's too many women in this generation like that. Honestly, there are way too many women looking for validation through OnlyFans and Instagram. And I don't, and I mean, not even social media like Facebook. Post a picture. Oh, well, I guess I'm still valid because they don't have anyone to show them.
I mean, there were way too many. I remember way too many dudes needing validation.
Yeah.
When I was starting, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know?
I know. It's a
hard
problem.
To find, you know?
It's a problem.
But, like, people are just mentally ill.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
we
not that. Like,
therapy.
Everybody has that issue. Like, everybody. I think a lot of people have that problem. And it's because there isn't. I'll say it from my perspective. It's because we're in a social media that compares everybody to everyone else. This guy has this. This guy has that. This guy has this. That guy has that. And you say to yourself, and there's a lot of young men in what they call them the incel community, but they're not really incels. They just, you know, they're just the normal guys. And they're like, well, you know, but I'm not this guy. I'm not that guy. I'm not 6 foot. I don't have muscles. I'm not a...
You know,
I did that.
I did that too. And it sucks because I thought I was an awesome mom back in, you know, the early aughts. But... Then, you know, the era of the mommy blogger came out, and then it was like everyone was like attacking you. Like, if you weren't a crunchy mom, if you didn't have 100% organic, if you didn't you know, totally natural, you know, cloth diapers and whatever, then, like, you know, like you didn't stay home. But then if you did stay home, then you were just, you know, a piece of shit woman because the only piece of shit women would stay home, you know?
What?
Like, it was horrible. And then it was constantly comparing yourself. Like, oh, well, you know, my life doesn't look like theirs. That looks so much more perfect. When I do it, it looks like shit. Well, this is a demonic influence upon us.
It is. And what I can say is, but a lot of that is fake. Like, I like how these fitness bloggers will go in there and will literally say, hey, look, this is how I look with all these lights and, you know, this kind of stuff. Or sometimes I'll use, like, a special kind of oil that makes the muscles show or something. And then they're like, but this is me regular. And they'll just show, like, the regular fucking person.
Yeah, I thought it was real funny not too long ago when a bunch of, like, the mommy blogger kids grew up and they came out about their mommy blogging life. And then now, like, the YouTube kid stars are coming out and doing the same. It's like, yeah, it's all illusions.
Yeah.
Why are you buying into it?
Yeah, it's fake.
why are you giving it your Nike attention?
I'll tell you why. Because
why are you doing it?
I'll tell you why. It's the same reason people love the adult industry that I promote for. They love a fantasy. But the difference between our industry and the industry that is... Actually, well, the difference between our industry and theirs is our industry knows we're fake. Like, we know it's not fucking real. We know that there's not these guys walking around with, like, 10-inch, 10-foot dicks and these girls that all look like models. Doesn't matter how old they are, they all look like they... I mean, come on. I mean, there's a few exceptions. Sometimes the characters will be more realistic. And these developers are trying to work on more realistic looking women. I know I've looked at some of them. They're saying we're trying to make it more realistic. But you don't want to give away, you don't want to take away from the fantasy. You know, because again, somebody is trying to say, well, this is, it's a fantasy. But you shouldn't think of it as a reality. You're like, oh, well... I'd like to bang a woman that looks like this, or I'd like to bang a man that looks like that. And I was like, sure, you know, we all would. But at the end of the day, is that person going to be the right person for you? That's the thing.
Exactly.
And people don't think about that. They don't...
Look, this person has everything. Check off all the checks. X off all the notches, you know, all the boxes. And then they're like, oh, let's get married. And then they're like, oh, shit, we are terrible together.
Yeah. And some of these movie stars, you know, when they start spending more time with each other, because they're, you know, they're constantly doing movies, they start to realize how it does not fucking work out. And they're like, oh, shit. Yeah. And then they spend more time. What was it? What was his name? He was going to be Batman. Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. They're getting divorced.
Ben Affleck.
I like Ben Affleck. Yeah. I think he would have made a great Batman.
Oh, God.
He wanted to be Batman.
I'm not going to judge you.
They had a great script written and everything. And they threw it all away. And we got that 90-pound... I mean, I can't really talk that much, but it's like me trying to play
Batman. George Clooney? What happened to George Clooney? George Clooney would make a great Batman. Why haven't we had...
We did have George Clooney Batman with the bat nipples. The fucking suit had nipples on it. Yeah, it was called Batman and Robin. It was a flop. Yeah. It was a commercial flop.
Well...
It had Arnold Schwarzenegger as
Mr. Freeze.
Well,
we need to redo it. George Clooney needs to be Batman again, because I still think he's, like, the hottest man on the planet. So
George Clooney? Well, my mother liked him in Ur.
Am I not proving the point here? Am I not proving the point you've been making here? Like, just saying.
I mean, he did the worst Batman we've ever seen, but, I mean...
Well, that's okay, but he's still, like, super hot, though.
Okay, damn, maybe they should have made him play Superman. They were going to have Nicolas Cage as Superman one time with the long hair.
Nicolas Cage is a terrible actor, though.
No, he's acted in some pretty decent movies. There's actually been a few movies where he's done a really good job.
Yeah, when he was younger.
No,
but then, like,
there's been
everything.
I swear, there's been a few Nicolas Cage movies recently. DP will fucking he loves Nicolas Cage, and when it comes to some of the movies, he's like, man, yo, no, that movie was awesome. There was one when he was with Javier Bardem.
Wasn't it Nicolas Cage that did the voiceover for Astro Boy?
I'm not sure, but I know he's going to do the Spider-Man Noir. Anyway, hey, that's all we got time for today. So I know it sucks, but we're going to have to cut it to a close. All right, you guys, thanks for being a part of this, and we'll see you next time. I mean, I don't got anything going on next week, so if you're free, we'll do it again.